Politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? For all of us, politician. Can you make a right decision for all of us? Yeah, for all of us. Politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? Yeah.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is from New Zealand today. Well, he's in New Zealand. He's technically from England. His name's Daryl Jones, and he's a local MC, virulent music DJ, and he's also a little bit into conspiracy and the occult, for that matter. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks, Vinnie. Appreciate it.
How many years have we known each other? It's been like nearly 5, 6, 10 years or some crap. And this is the first time I've ever bothered to invite you on the broadcast, mate. I'm sorry about that.
Nah, it's okay. Yeah, probably, what, I don't know, 7 years or something?
Yeah.
Quite a long time.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. We've had many a party together out on the town.
Yeah, you filmed quite a few of my events. I'm also an event organizer. Vinny has done quite a bit of nice filming and editing work as well. It's nice to be called a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, you know. Like, I tend to think of myself as quite isolated from mainstream thought, you know. So
yeah, well, the word isolated pretty much encapsulates a lot of the lifestyle of many conspiracy theorists, I can assure you.
Yeah. Well, what's the alternative? Being a, you know, coincidence theorist.
Yeah, pretty much. The other element that I wanted to discuss with you today is what exactly drives people within this realm. To define my point, I want to ask you as well. To being a bit of an entertainer and being around all these people, which I call, I guess the word would be soulless. All right, you know the type of people I'm talking about. They're all through the entertainment industry. They're not few and far between. They're the majority, and it's the good people who actually have an awareness of their surroundings and the implications of their actions, like yourself, that are the rare ones. What is it that actually gets that whole ball rolling for you?
Okay, if I understand the question, I think the entertainment industry is quite similar to the other big industries and areas of it's power, isn't it? If you're an entertainer, then you do have a certain amount of power over, you know, people's thought. I mean, people are, you know, hopefully, you know, wrapped by what you're doing. So, I mean, what it is, I think, is a system that's been developed probably over like hundreds or even possibly even thousands of years, where the sociopath is promoted, like the scum rises to the top. I mean, obviously in entertainment, the talent rises to the top too. So you say the cream rises to the top and the scum rises to the top. It's the same with politics, entertainment, you name it really.
Mm-hmm.
So my position really is kind of interesting. I mean, I try and work with people that I see as, you know, good souls, not just people that have talent. You know, it happens all the time. You know, I book a lot of DJs and MCs and bands and stuff. And I mean, yeah, there's some really talented DJs and stuff out there who are just really unpleasant to work with because they're so self-centered. And to me, you know, often it seems like, you know, they display sociopathic kind of tendencies.
Well, the American Medical Journal states that a psychopath is a person who is really good and enchanting when you first meet them, but they ultimately don't have any depth to their personality or long-lasting relationships. And the industries that you are likely to find these people is business, entertainment, politics, law, medicine, and religion. What would you say are the most influential institutions of our time?
All of those. Those are the most influential institutions.
And so is it any wonder why the world is crazy? It's because psychopathic crazy people are frickin' running it.
Yeah, it's like a snowball effect, I think. It's a bit like a cancer, you know, the bigger it gets, the faster it grows. And I think that's a pretty fair comparison, and it is a bit disheartening to see it happen, you know, especially when, you know, these people are chosen over, you know, the rightful people. I mean, there's people out there who are wise and decent and would, you know, do a great job of running things, whether that be in politics or entertainment. And they are pretty much suffocated and, you know, marginalized and kept out the way and, you know, in positions that don't really utilize their strengths, while, you know, you get people getting promoted, you know, because they're corrupt. And this is a system-wide problem, you know. This is a human race problem, you know. It's so widespread. So the solution is, God, the solution's a tricky one, eh? I mean, it's...
Well, I think it's kind of like when you realize you're an alcoholic, step one is admitting it. All right?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, just admit it, okay? Hi, I'm Vinny Eastwood, and I'm governed by criminal psychopathic scum.
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty good if we could sort of uncover and fully reveal this pedophile network, you know. I hate to sort of have to bring it up, but it has to be brought up, doesn't it?
Oh, it has to be brought up over again and again, no matter how many people yell at you and scream at you and tell you they don't want to hear it. I'm sorry, mate, there are kids out there who don't want to be raped, and because you don't want to hear it, they will continue to be raped.
And this is the thing, in Hollywood and you know, the other big centres of entertainment, I mean, England has its own and so on, I mean, and politics and law, you're finding the people at the very top of the pyramid are all connected through these, you know, secret fraternities and business interests and stuff. They're all, you know, networked together. And, there's some pretty messed up stuff going on. And that kind of binds them together as well, doesn't it? Because they're bound in secrecy.
Well, especially if you remember the Freemasonic Brotherhood, that's bound by secrecy.
You know, it's also I find it very interesting in entertainment the way that they reveal things. It's like they have to tell you the messed up thing that they're doing to you. I don't know. I think that's part of the ritual. I mean, as we know, they're very fond of rituals, and
well, they're kind of like let's just call a spade here. These people are demonic entities. Okay, this is my belief. All right, and that demons are real, and good's real and evil's real. Okay, the problem is we don't. It's not what we think it is, and what these people are doing, if they are people. Allegedly, more or less is creating a satanic dominion on Earth. Right now, the analogy that one guest gave me one time, I thought was absolutely fitting. Vampirism. Mm. How does a vampire get you? He gets you in your home. How does he get in your home? He has to be invited in. So, it's our fault that we invite these people in, but it's not our fault that they are who they are.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reminded of the beetle that makes itself smell like an ant and then crawls into the ant's nest. I mean, I'm on the fence about most things. I mean, I like to sort of maintain a sort of open mind. So I'll you know, build my theories and listen to other people's theories and construct them in my mind. And I think that's a really important ability to be able to do. It's really, really important to be able to consider things without having to adopt them. And And I mean, eventually, you know, things start to concrete in your mind. But I really think that, you know, this idea that then that these people are not human, it comes from a number of things. I think it's partly because they're sociopaths or psychopaths, and that's, you know, part of what makes us human is empathy. And the other reason, I think, is because of the legend comes from the reptilian brain. I mean, our ancestors knew a lot more about medical and physiological stuff than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they knew that there was a reptilian, you know, hind brain. And
the teachings of Don Juan and written by Carlos Castaneda specifically refers to these reptilian kind of snake demon sort of things, which attach to people's brain stems and take them over and control them like a robot sort of thing.
Exactly. So in my belief, I think that we all have the reptilian brain. We all have the potential to be that way, except we have, you know, the rest of the human brain as well. I mean, I'm not a physicalist or, you know, that just believes in you know, that we have no soul and stuff like that. I believe that it's all connected. I think our soul and our body exist on the same plane, actually. But I think that's where this lizard, alien lizard thing has come from. I think it's, you know, and also, you know, the macrobes thing as well. I think, you know, John Dee communicating with the macrobes and stuff. I mean, that's quite feasible to me. That fits into my belief, because I do think that I think life is everywhere, and I do think the universe is probably an organism.
Close enough.
It could be an orgasm as well. The Big Bang. I don't know.
Yeah. The Big Bang. The Big Bang sounded like this.
Yeah.
Sounds about right, doesn't it? You know? It's a lot sexier than the darkness of space.
Universe is a sexy place, my friend.
No Shiite Muslim. You're making some alien love tonight.
But it's the alien thing. I like to draw comparisons and build ideas like from these comparisons. I mean, I see the Earth. I mean, the Earth is shrinking, but I mean, it's still a big place. And the way that animals are spread out, and we have different biodiversity in different areas. I mean, and you have this question of pests. You know, New Zealand is a good case in point, because New Zealand, you know, originally, most obviously Kiwis know this, but perhaps your American audience wouldn't be aware that in New Zealand, I mean, there weren't really many mammals, only the ground-dwelling bat, and we've introduced a lot of creatures, basically. And people in this country criticize the pests. They criticize magpies, they criticize possums, you know, they shoot them and stuff like that, which is, you know, all right. I guess.
Which is ironic, really, because possums eat berries and then they crap the berries out after the removal and the fertilization process, and they actually help the bush. And so in an effort to help the bush, we drop one of the world's most virulent poisons, 1080, into pristine bush, as well as right on the borders of farmland, to kill these terrible pests.
It drives me nuts. And we don't understand what that chemical is going to, how that's going to be reacting to all the other chemicals we're pumping everywhere else.
Yeah.
But the point I wanted to make is that, you know, we as humans, I mean, human beings, you know, supposedly weren't in New Zealand until the Māori showed up, or the Māoriori as well. So, I mean, originally it was an island of birds, and that was pretty much mostly what lived here. I mean, really, you know, human beings in our modern form, we're the pest, we're the only pest. We're the one that's brought these so-called pests here. So I really think, you know, we just need to accept that these animals are here now, stop trying to poison them and kill them, and let them get on with it. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, we might have to do other things to support the native animals as well, but it doesn't necessarily have to be at the detriment of the ones that we've introduced. You know, it's you know, it's almost like the pot calling the kettle black, you know. Mm-hmm. And actually, to make one more point, it's always the introduced stuff that they're like, okay, they're killing all the natives, and you know, what about us?
Yeah. I was saying that. I was just about to say that. You know, what about the British that introduced themselves to New Zealand and started killing the natives? You know, yeah.
how about they just start? Yeah, exactly. You see where I'm going. And the reason I say that is because you know there is a comparison to be made there, and
it's characterized by the lack of empathy in the first place. Oh, these are pests, they need to be exterminated. Oh, these are unevolved people, they need to be exterminated and their land stolen, etc., etc. Again, psychopathic mindset. Same freaking thing the whole way through the entirety of history. It's still with us today. It never left.
I just think it's a bizarre situation that we've got ourselves into, you know, and I don't know. It's worrying. It's worrying to see all of the stuff that's going on. I mean, this is just one tiny aspect.
Well, I think there's actually two of the most interesting elements about being a quote unquote conspiracy theorist, which I proudly admit to being, because the alternative is being naive and freaking retarded. But the two very important parts of it is, number one, you got to deal with the anger, the depression, and the scumbaggery and what have you. And it's a lot of emotional freaking strain, more or less. And element two is actually dealing with the other people who are still asleep, who won't listen to facts, won't look at evidence, won't listen to reason, you know, that kind of thing. And they say that you're the crazy one, because you have facts and evidence and listen to reason, not in spite of the fact, but because of the fact.
They have to say that you're crazy because the alternative is too uncomfortable for them. You know, I mean, what I would recommend is I know it's really difficult to find positive news stories at the moment, but you're going to have to get creative and I don't know. I really think that, you know, the mainstream news, they've realized this. They've started to try to put positive stories in there. I mean, and the only shit they could, sorry, language. The only stuff they can find is, you know, absolute nonsense like duckling crossing the road and stuff. So, I mean, hopefully we can do better than that. But I mean, you know, we really need to start, I think, covering our little, even, no matter how small they are, victories, you know. I know that you do that. It's a tough one. It's a tough one, because people don't want to hear about things. They don't want to know. They want to live in the bubble, and I mean, I can actually kind of respect that to a degree. I mean, life is so diverse. So much is going on. So much of it is wonderful as well. I mean, you know, no matter how bad things get on Earth, we're only one tiny little planet. Things, you know, I really think we need to just stop spending money on wars and just start exploring the universe, eh?
Yeah, I mean, that'd work out well for everybody, methinks. It's like, hey, we haven't solved any of our problems here. Let's take them out to the galaxy.
Exactly. Well, what I'm you know, saying you know, is...
maybe it could be like, what was it that somebody told me? Oh, yeah, I was interviewing Jarrell White about the moon landing hoax kind of conspiracy and that kind of thing, right? Yeah. And I asked him, what the hell is the point in going to the moon, you know? And what the hell is the point in going to Mars? I mean, sure, it'd be fun, it'd be cool, but at the end of the day, the only reason why we really, really need to go to the moon or need to go to Mars or anything like that is because we've got a planet here that we're fracking up faster than we can clean it up, and we're going to... And the only thing we really want to do is to spread throughout the solar system and eventually the galaxy as a human race into the future like a goddamn cosmic parasite.
It doesn't have to be like that, though, does it? I mean, I believe that we have the option, we have the choice, whether we want to be parasitic or whether we want to be, you know, beneficial. And I think actually not the whole, I don't think the whole human race is parasitic. I think,
no, I don't think so.
Only
I just
about
think
99%
the ones,
of us, you know,
I disagree. I think actually probably only, between 1 and 4% are actual parasites. and the remaining between 99 and 96% are just good people who simply have their lives and minds controlled by the elite parasites.
Yeah, no, I do agree. It's just that I think what it is that 99% of people are taking, but not intentionally. Probably only if, you know, a couple of percent are deliberately, you know. I think what it, most people feel bad and guilty, I'd say, about the way that they live, their lifestyle, but they feel like they have no choice. Because it's not easy to grow your own vegetables. It's not easy to walk everywhere or cycle or, you know, get around with minimal sort of like footprint. And I mean, yeah, I know that the global warming is a natural thing because we're getting closer to the sun, but you know, we're definitely having an effect on the planet, and I think it's deliberate. You know, we're changing the chemical composition of the atmosphere, and that ties in with the chemtrails as well. I mean, I don't know if it's been debunked or not, but I saw this video the other day of an aeroplane landing, and they'd forgotten to turn off the
chemtrails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those are what they call what was it? Engine vortices, and somebody showed me a picture of a Emirates flight landing at Heathrow that had a very similar effect to what we were talking about there.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing: it's what they call psyops, psychological operations. For those who are uninitiated, is the whole idea that you can actually put out disinformation, and then when all the people who believe it without questioning it come out and tout it as evidence, etc., etc., then it makes every single person, even the people who didn't believe it in the first place, look like a freaking gullible idiot. And then the rest of the scum who just deny reality for a freaking living. Sit around going, yeah, see, look, they don't check their facts and evidence. Really. By chance, did you look at any of the hundreds of articles, videos, testimonials, documentation from US government agencies and NASA and the UN and all the patent offices and everything like that? Did you read any of that information that I said that I sent to you before claiming, blanketedly, of course, that there is no evidence to support chemtrails? Oh no, I didn't actually read any of it because it was just chemtrail nonsense. Really, mate? Really, mate? So the reason why there's no evidence for chemtrails is because you refuse to look at it because you don't think there is any.
They don't want to believe that there is, and also people just can't live. They don't want to try and live with the fact that they're being poisoned and that the planet is being destroyed, like, deliberately. People want to live their lives without this knowledge. So, and also there's the thing of cognitive dissonance as well. It's like, this doesn't fit in with my view of the world. So you've already built a view of the world in your head. You perceive it in a certain way, and anything that doesn't gel with that must therefore be, you know, fake. And the other problem that we have with the internet, or one of the challenges, is that it doesn't matter what you believe or what you think. Any opinion will be validated online. Do you know what I mean? Not just any opinion, but any stance. Like, if you want to believe that cupcakes fucking invaded France, you know, you could probably Google it and it will come up. You know, it's like anything you want to believe now, you can believe. I think you touched upon a really important point there, because what we're finding is that they are co-opting the unveiling. So you get some real media people, underground guerrilla media type people, and they start to unveil, you know, like a government conspiracy, like chemtrails. So their response is to start unveiling chemtrails themselves, but doing it in a sabotaged sort of way that, you know, it leads people into the wrong direction, and it leads them away. It's very complex mind control, really. It is part of the mind control. and it's also creating avenues for people to go down, to help them maintain their paradigm that they want to have.
There's an old saying: if you want the revolution to be successful, oh wait, hold on a second, I've got that one wrong. what was it? The best way to defeat the opposition is to lead it.
Yeah, and that's what they do, and that's politics in a nutshell. I mean, everyone, so many people, I'm an event organizer, right? And I do a lot of events, a lot, and I know all the other event organizers in the city, and I know all the artists as well, right? So over the last 6 months, I've been getting loads of emails and Facebook messages from other organizers and artists trying to get me to help them with these voting drives. They, you know, they want to do these modular sort of events everywhere, trying to get young people to vote. And yeah, I mean, they're definitely like left-wing kind of people that are asking me to do this. But what I've said to them is that I don't believe that there's any party that's worth voting for. And even if there was, they wouldn't be allowed to win. Okay, and even if they did win, they would be sabotaged and worse things would happen. It's like, say, if some new party were to like come up and they were like, you know, a real party of the people, you know, that really, really wanted to like see this country become independent and get rid of Monsanto, GM, you know, all the things that we really, really need to do, in my opinion. They would, if they somehow freakishly managed to win and they weren't, you know, and the election somehow wasn't rigged, even if they did win, we would see there would be a shitstorm, and probably there would be, you know, they would find a way to get them out of power.
Did you hear about Operation Catapult, Daryl?
No.
No? The largest military exercises in New Zealand history, more US and foreign troops on our soil than since World War II. And guess what the drill was? To remove New Zealand's government and replace it with their own. And there's a NATO operation, and that was that happened just late last year. Unfortunately, Daryl, we are out of time. I want to thank you very much for participating in the broadcast today, and may the events that you plan in future be terribly successful. And do you have a MC Projectile website of some description where people can go and perhaps hire your wares or get you to rap a battle with them or whatever?
Yeah, I can be contacted at mcfulltime@gmail.com. I have a website, www.baseinthepark.com. I've got an event called Sin coming up on the 23rd. Last thing I just want to say, Vinny, you know, there's a lot of dark conspiracies and a lot of bad stuff going on in the world, but, you know, at the end of the day, it is, a beautiful planet that we live on, and being alive is a gift. And I just want to say the greatest conspiracy of them all is the conspiracy for Jah Rastafari watching over us.
Yep, that's right. And I'd say that the second greatest conspiracy is making us believe that we're not powerful enough to overpower the conspirators.
Bingo.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.